I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bet the Edge. Thanks for watching our NBC Sports YouTube channel or listening in podcast form. It is Thursday, so it's V-Money Sports and the Whale Cap, and we got a lot to cover today. We're talking not only the NBA, but the NFL draft as well. What the Patriots do with the number 3 pick, talking about some offensive linemen, receivers, and defensive players in the first round, a couple positionals. So, Drew, the first things first, man. In Pennsylvania, where I live, I don't have any draft props, so I have to text one of my best friends to potentially get some value. And he's a long, lifetime Patriots fan, okay? So I texted him and said, this is what Drew gave me the inside info on. This is who's going 3. He said, if that's the case, I'll be picking a new favorite team. So let's start right there. Drake May is the favorite to go number 3 to New England Patriots at minus 270 odds. J.J. McCarthy, 2nd, plus 300. Jaden Daniels, plus 475. And you start getting into long-term money. Marvin Harrison, 11-1, and a couple other guys. Not really too much worth mentioning unless you like long shots, Drew. So what's the word? What's the rumor that could be true?
Yeah, I mean, the scuttlebutt from in the information circles is that the Patriots are zeroed in on J.J. here. So 3-1, you know, I'd say – anything better, anything, if you're, and I guess we got to clarify a couple things. First of all, happy draft day to those of you listening. This was recorded on Wednesday, actually. So these prices are, this particular number 3 pick market, it is a violent right now. Some of the offshore spaces, we've seen J.J. McCarthy as high as 5-1 today and as low as pick'em today. Like, it, you know, the markets that are taking the most liquidity per click are very, very, very volatile. And so there's still some uncertainty here, and I'll qualify the uncertainty as well. Are the Patriots going to pick 3rd? We don't know. The Patriots still have not heard last final offer from the likes of the Giants and the Vikings to trade out of this pick, right? Is JJ going to be in this spot, right? Like, do we know for sure that the Commanders are going to pick Jaden Daniels? I'd say it's very likely, but definitely not 100%. So there is still a little bit of uncertainty here. And then there's, you know, kind of just in general, the information could be wrong. Like, they might actually just prefer Drake May. I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other. I know you do. I think it's, the top 6 of the draft probably goes one of 2 paths now, based on all the information I've got. It goes Caleb, J.J. McCarthy. The 4th pick would likely then be traded for Drake May, and you would have QBs go 1 through 4. All right, that in that world, if that's the world we live in, we are having a party on Thursday night, because it is going like all kinds of chaos starts to trickle in after that, where you have Marvin Harrison Jr. is available at 5. You know, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, all these guys are available in the back half of the top 10, right? Like, you know, like you really kind of do start to tilt, and uncertain things trickle in, and teams are now interested in trading up, and it has butterfly effect ramifications that are going to be able to be capitalized on. So I'm kind of hopeful that that's the world we're living in right now. The other world is, and honestly, in that world, my guess is the Giants trade into four to take May. The Chargers either stick and pick five. Who the heck knows where they're going to go? They could definitely use Marvin Harrison Jr. For all of my Charger fan friends, I will, you know, say a silent, word of preference for, for Marvin Harrison Jr. to go to them five. But that pick's probably up for grabs because we know the Chargers want to trade down. And then in that world, again, the Cardinals would pick six, having swapped with the Giants, and they would almost certainly take Neighbors. So that's kind of one exacta in the top six that I think is likely right now. The other, and I think that is a little bit over 50-50. I feel if I'm being flat out on what my likelihood of that happening is probably about 50-50. And I'm connecting the dots from public statements from the likes of the Dane Brugler's of the world, Lance Zierlein's of the world, like these, and everyone in the New England media seems to have this right now. So this is not like one or two, cloak and dagger whisper, did you hear? Like, this is a lot of people now starting to coalesce around this likelihood. So I'm fine saying it's over 50-50. And if you can still find a price on JJ to go third, that's plus money. I think that's a fair play. Same with Drake May to go fourth. I think that's a fair play. And then anyone's guess, in my opinion, what happens at five could be a tackle to the Chargers, could be the Chargers taking Harrison, could be somebody trading up. You want to get weird? How about the Bears? The Bears trade up to five and kind of complete, give up this year's first and next year's first to the Chargers for Harrison, and have Caleb come out of this draft with Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. That would be kind of a showstopper. So, a lot of weird things could happen in that fifth pick. And then I think sixth is likely to be Neighbors to the Cardinals, as crazy as this sounds. And so the other world that we live in that I think is less than 50-50 is that Caleb, Jalen Daniels, JJ, I mean, excuse me, the Patriots stick and pick Drake May, or someone trades up into the Patriots spot and takes Drake May. And in that world, I think JJ is in a little bit of a free fall territory. I don't think anyone's scrambling to get to four for JJ McCarthy, because really the only bidders, as far as I know, are New England and Minnesota, who had eyes for JJ McCarthy. And if there's only one of those teams that has the assets to pick in that range, and it's Minnesota, then they may just stick and let him fall to them. So I think in that world, that's probably more like, May goes third to the Patriots. The Cardinals stick and pick four, probably Marvin Harrison Jr. The Chargers maybe take an offensive lineman, Joe Alt, maybe J.C. Latham. And then the sixth pick is probably Giants taking Neighbors again. Seventh is Tennessee. So this is sort of like the chalky, boring draft. In that world, I'm not making any money, so hopefully we're not living there.
Yes, to say Neighbors is now the favorite at most shops to go number six. And I was trying to find some of the picks you were talking about and trying to find expose those markets, because you said Drake May goes four. That's 7-1 right there at most places, 8-1. So you're looking at a very good money if there is chaos to happen. And we're recording a little bit before 5 p.m. Eastern right now, the day before. So we expect some of these markets to short up for sure. But I'm intrigued by the temperature on some of these players, because you noted Marvin Harrison Jr., teams aren't scrambling to go get him, which he seems like the all-out receiver, the playmaker that you'd want to go get. Malik Neighbors also great too, but I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the superior wide receiver. And makes sense, J.J. McCarthy, New England, Drew, because think about the offense that New England runs, the formations. J.J. McCarthy has played in that offense at Michigan. He was not forced to throw, so he could line up with a fullback and a running back behind him. Drake May, more of a pro style, spread it out, shotgun type of offense, not under center very much. So I could see why that all works out in that way, but I do think Drake May is the better quarterback. But now I'm going to have to be creative here and look for some of these long shots. And to my friend Damon, the lifelong Pats fan, I'm sorry, my guy, you're getting Michigan Wolverine at quarterback. Let's go, Blue!
A national champion.
Yeah, I don't hate to see it. It does seem like the New England thing to do. It would be a Bill Belichick move, but he's no longer there. But looks like they're still keeping the Bill Belichick vibes alive, Drew, if they get J.J. McCarthy, in my opinion. But let's talk about some positions. Let's go offensive lineman first, because I was pretty intrigued to see some of these markets. Now, it's over under 9.5 offensive linemen in the first round. That is a lot. Talking about double digits. So the over is minus 200. But the value is on the under at plus 160. So do you think the under is worth playing, or do you like the chances we get double-digit amount of linemen?
So full transparency, a million years ago, I did play some under 9.5. I think those are, I've written those off as losses. The tea leaves, the whispers are that not only is this one of the most talented offensive line drafts of probably our lifetime, you have a number of players who are versatile in terms of they can play left, they can play right, they can play inside, they can play outside. Like there's a little bit of everything. And so that creates two things. One, every kind of player will find a home, right? Like, and also there's, you know, these guys are true blue, you know, kind of blue blood players. Like these guys are going to, they're going to get fifth year options. Like, and what's funny, and, you know, credit hat tip to Dr. Eric Eager, our buddy, of Sumer Sports. He's pointing out something pretty clearly, which is the new market efficiency is second half of the first round. You really want an offensive lineman in those picks because the surplus value of that fifth year option relative to what you are paying, if you are going to market to get a free agent, is massive. And so while kind of the conventional wisdom back in the Lamar Jackson days where it was get your quarterback at the end of the first round, so you got that fifth year control. Well, the way that the contracts are kind of working out for that fifth year is you're paying a lot of money anyway. Like look at what Jordan Love is getting in his fifth year this year. And he's only at 1 year of service. Like, you know, there's if you have and you hit on a guy in that range, like you're going to be paying him a pretty hefty number regardless. Whereas with offensive linemen, you do have some surplus value if you are a guy, you know, a player under team control that year. And if you have high confidence in your offensive line candidates like this year, then yeah, go take one then, because, you know, they take a little bit longer time to develop, but once they do develop, they have a much longer plateau at the top of their career. Some of these guys can play 5, 6, 7, 10 years. And so this is, I think, driving some demand for offensive linemen in the back half of the first round, on top of the fact that you have a number of teams that just have need at this position. And so it's hand in glove, talented players, team need. I think ultimately seeing 10 or even 11 would not entirely shock me. Here's where it gets weird. There are a million player over under markets out there, Vaughn. And you would think, well, should we just go spam unders, right? Like, you know, and my honest answer to that is no, do not, because there are kind of quasi soft tiers, right? Like you can ask five different talent evaluators to give me your top four. You're going to get five different answers. You can ask five talent evaluators of, well, who are the players in your top 10? You're going to get five different answers, right? So there's a lot of personal preference in terms of how you evaluate players. There's a lot of difference in terms of who's ready to play now, who needs a year to kind of develop and learn. And there is a lot of differences in team needs where you have teams like, oh, I don't know, the Titans, who need a plug and play, right? They can't afford to take a developmental prospect who might end up being the best. They kind of need a guy who could play on week one. It's a way more complex picture, and I'm not privy to what the Titans offensive lineman rankings are at all. Everybody is just penciling in Joe Alt there, but do we know for sure he is their top pick? No. There's rumors that there are other players. I don't have inside knowledge one way or the other, so that I'm out of that type of market entirely. I do think there are players who are especially versatile, who are risers, the Graham Bartons of the world. Weirdly, the Mims of the world seems to be the hottest name across all offensive linemen today, which I do not understand, because I thought he was somewhat of a height and weight injury red flag. But he's been a hot commodity. Latham has been a hot commodity, and then your clear and obvious fallers are Washington's Troy Fautano, who apparently has a couple of knee injury red flags. Talisse Fuaga, who is, you know, he's a versatile player, but maybe not, you know, quite viewed in the top 10, like on a lot of boards. And then your Jackson Powers Johnson, who also has some injury red flags. So I have Barton as a riser. I have Amarius Mims as a riser. I have Jordan Morgan as a riser. I think all of these guys go comfortably in the top 25, maybe top 28 for Jordan Morgan. But the offensive, I mean, if you like offensive line clips, If you like offensive line highlights, if you like watching pancake blocks, tune into the draft on Thursday night because you're going to get about 2 hours of them.
Hey, that's what we like to hear. That's the backbone of the team right there, the offensive line.
Trench warfare.
That's right, baby. The big uglies up front. But over 9.5 sounds like a good bet then. I mean, I love the breakdowns all across the board from the contract situations on why it's better to get an offensive lineman in the back end to the risers and fallers and to just team needs in specific. So, I mean, I appreciate all the insight there, Drew. And my final question before we move on to receivers and defensive players for the first round, just say you are accounted as a losing bet, you said, playing the under. But scrap it. Say you haven't bet this at all. Is minus 200 an okay value for this over? And what is the number that you really stop at in a market like this?
Okay, so a really good question. My fair projection right now is 10 and change. So an over 9.5 should be priced in the minus 400 range. Now at this stage of the game, when you're talking about laying prices for draft, this is kind of a fun wrinkle that's different from almost every other lay a price conversation. There are plenty of examples we can give you from years past where a minus 400 should be a minus 4,000. Right. Yeah. And if you can do the conversion to implied probabilities, that is a large amount of plus EV in your pocket if you're laying 400. And you also are not laying it for an especially long time. So I don't have any reservations right now getting involved in minus 200 over 9.5 linemen. It's just a matter of if that's where you want to allocate your capital. Doing something like, honestly, right now, the best bet's probably some exotic, like exact a top four. The four quarterbacks that we mentioned off the top with JJ3 and Drake 4. I think that's probably the biggest price you can find for something in that the market's just not capitalizing or not accounting for correctly right now. If I'm saying it's 50-51% that's happening, I think you can probably find that for like 20-1, 25-1. It's going to be a big old price. So that's kind of how I would currently allocate resources. But as we get close to the draft actually tipping off, if you have, I tend to allocate balance right at the close, just firing into stuff that I know should be -1,000, that's -200, -400. And I would say offensive lineman probably in that category. It is a big number and there are going to be a lot of good defensive players that are in the bottom half of round one that could entice teams to just be like, taking O-line 10 or taking edge 3, right? Like, that's a tough thing to kind of rationalize. And if you're the Baltimore Ravens and you have had 3/5 of your starting offensive line walk out of the door in free agency, like maybe you take OL 10, right? But if you're the San Francisco 49ers, who I think a lot of people kind of tap as tackle need, and only say, I don't know, 4 wide receivers have been taken. You're weighing wide receiver 5, OL 10. That starts to get a little bit more interesting in terms of just, taking positional value. So, I think it could be a little sweaty, over 9.5. And, I haven't currently bet any of the over, but, keeping my eye on that price as we get closer to the close.
Yeah, and I appreciate that too because, in certain situations like the NBA playoff series price, for example, like I laid the minus 190, minus 185 with the Cleveland Cavaliers and stuff like that.
Go Cavs.
Yeah, go Cavs, baby. These are situations where I feel like I agree, where I feel like that number should be much larger than what it is, closer to minus 400 than minus 200, as you said, with the offensive linemen. So I was hoping we
I thought you got game one in series. You're already,
that too.
You're already busted. Yeah.
I mean, trust me. I'm already counting the Cavs money as my Mexico's spending it to get my girlfriend her clothes, bikinis, hats, all that. I'm like, yeah.
Hey, summertime's coming up. You gotta be ready.
Yeah, I've loved the NBA so far, but we still got more NFL talk, Drew, before we give all the people winners there. I do want to ask you about another market because the wide receivers are interesting. The over 6.5 market currently priced at plus 300 to the over. The under is minus 400. We know teams in the back end like Buffalo might be looking for a wide receiver now that Stephon Diggs is gone. The Chiefs, also another team picking at 32. They might look for a receiver, but we also made the case for those pesky offensive linemen. So over 6.5, any value there at 3-1?
I think there is a little bit to the under, actually. And when we're talking about risers and fallers, as we are in the week of the draft, there's been kind of a cadre of fallers among the wide receivers that's important to kind of what does this mean? What does this mean? Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Romo Odunze, I have all expect to firmly go in the top 10. Very low likelihood that any of those guys slides out of the top 10. However, they are sliding. You know, there are teams like the Giants who people are tapping for a wide receiver who might take a quarterback. And I think there are teams that people are tapping for a quarterback like Minnesota, Denver, Las Vegas. Like, if they don't take a quarterback, are they going to take a wide receiver? Probably not. And I think there's like a huge kind of middle portion of the draft from, say, pick 11 to pick 28, where the Buffalo Bills pick, where if we didn't see a single wide receiver go in that entire range, I would not be shocked. There are needs at offensive line. There are needs at defensive line. There are needs at quarterback. And there is talent available from 11 to 27 that I think is going to kind of push wide receivers further down than people may expect. And then to kind of key off this point, the specific sliders are Brian Thomas Jr., who people are concerned about injury status. Apparently he's going to need labrum surgery after the draft, which I don't think is a specific huge issue for him being able to contribute this year, but some of his tape was a little questionable too, as he had a difficulty kind of creating separation and being effective against some of the more elite cornerbacks he faced at the college level. So Brian Thomas Jr. is on the slide. His total is down to 19.5, and it's juicy to the over when I think that opened up in the 14.5 range. So that is a big old move based on health and production potential. Even more significant than that, Texas receiver A.D. Mitchell. He was kind of considered at a time a top 20 type of talent, but something in his draft process went horribly awry. I don't know if it was interviews or, you know, something that we just haven't gotten the full details on yet. But for whatever reason, teams are quite cool on him relative to expectation, relative to the big board talent rating, and he could slide entirely out of the first round. So if Brian Thomas Jr. is available all of a sudden at 28, well, guess what? You're not getting 7 wide receivers in round one. Sorry. And there could be some surprises at the end of round one. I will 100% acknowledge that picks 28, 31, and 32, like, they could all be wide receivers. But in my opinion, that is likely to be wide receiver. I say 32 actually is a total guess. Like, Chiefs could go O-line, they could go cornerback. Like, you know, they could try to replace the offensive lineman who they lost. They could try to replace Legarius Sneed. I think wide receiver's probably third biggest need for them. So realistically, I would expect wide receiver 4 goes 28, wide receiver 5 goes 31, and we may not see more than 5 wide receivers, which makes under 6.5 a pretty appealing bet. And I will caveat all this with, this was sort of my first what I would call a bridge jumper. This is not fun language. It's not a funny joke. I know this, but they when you lay the specifically large prices with a big portion of your bankroll, when you think something should be much higher price, like it has a tendency to induce a sweat that could have emotional swings. And so the bridge jumper this year is under 6.5 wide receivers for me, and just kind of need that one to land 5 or 6 without much of a sweat, and I would be perfectly happy on draft day.
Yeah, when I kept looking at a lot of the mock drafts, it kind of was just hard for me to imagine that many receivers also going in the first round. But I felt like you said, the first three that you named were firmly set to be, you know, top 10, 12, top 12 picks. So I like the value there. Maybe if this moves to under 5.5, there might be some value if you get, you know, plus 150.
Ooh, hit that middle.
Yeah, and that's very possible to happen too. So I would look at that angle for sure. But we do have a lot of basketball to cover, Drew. So you about ready to talk NBA here in a minute, my man?
For sure.
Let's do it. Well, first, as a reminder, everybody, the NFL draft does kick off Thursday, which we were just talking about. So we have you covered with our mock drafts, positional rankings, player interviews, and news updates around the league. You can go to NBCSports.com/NFL draft. Do that today for insight leading into round one and check back throughout the draft for analysis on every single pick. Certainly going to be an entertaining draft. And if you're not watching live, I got my Steelers hat on. Not expecting much for us since we got Russell Wilson, baby. The future. Just kidding. He's another 8 to 9 win season on the way for us.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
But we are looking good in the NBA, Drew. I am loving what I've seen from the Denver Nuggets. Got the -1.5 in the series. Also got some 4-0 series sweep in my pocket now for the Denver Nuggets. They are 1.5-point favorites at the Lakers. Total sitting at 215.5. 69% of the money is coming on Denver to cover. 75% on the money line. I'm with them. I'm riding with the public. What say you?
Okay. I am with you as well. It has taken me a long time to just sort of wave the purple and gold flag. But I capitulate here. The two efforts that you got out of the Lakers in game one and game two were heroic. They were able to, I think, identify some of the key issues and limitations and problems that the Nuggets currently have, specifically defensively, in the first half of game two. But all that said, the crunch time defense and the ability to win a close game just isn't there for this team right now. Their defense is too porous. There's way too much space for Jamal Murray to operate. And when, you know, he's cooking, D'Angelo Russell, that's one thing. But to hit that game winner over Anthony Davis, who looks quite tired, that's a bigger problem. And yes, I know they've had 2 days to get right. Yes, I know the Lakers are, you know, they have a lot, you know, former champion, kind of blue blood about them. But I would say that it's probably closer to the end of the series than the beginning for them by a long shot. And I think they may be able to salvage a game four win if the Nuggets are just, kind of in cruise control mode. But in game three, my fare is pick 'em, and I'm not going to bet the Lakers at +1.5. I'm going to let this one go.
Yeah, not sure what else they can really do, man. I mean, being up 20, blowing that lead to Denver, the first game they played terrific for, 2.5, 3 quarters for the Nuggets, kind of just took over. And they've now lost 11 straight to Denver. And as I stated, the Lakers' sole mistake was they should have tanked the plan to play the Thunder and been the 8th seed on purpose. That was a much better route for a 39-year-old LeBron James and a finally healthy Anthony Davis. But, yeah, I mean, that missing persons report is still out there for AD after that fourth quarter, Drew. Not sure if he'll show up for game three. We'll see. Hopefully someone can get that guy an Uber to the game. But, yeah, I expect the Nuggets to win this one in 4. If not, it'll be in 5, which was my original pick for the series. What about the rest of the West? Because the Pelicans and the Thunder, as we're recording this, I expect the Thunder to go up 2-0 in the series. They are 7.5-point favorites. The Mavericks tied it up 1-1 against the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard's return resulted in a loss. and the Timberwolves up 2-0 in the series on the Suns with Phoenix back to home courts for game 3 and 4. So what are you looking at in these series? Where's the value?
Well, Pelicans Thunder, I'm kind of on the sidelines. I think I've thought this was priced fairly the whole time. I think it's worth and important to watch just to kind of see how the Thunder can shake loose, you know, just what is a pretty pesky defense, specifically perimeter defense has been outstanding for the Pelicans. Just kind of if they can solve that and move on to the next round, they may be dangerous, but not going to get involved there. Clippers, Mavs, I have a whole Florida Mavs were back in the green thanks to their win last night. And there was some pretty clear, obvious breakthroughs, I thought, in the way that they took advantage of the Clippers, offensively going up against the Clippers defense in the fourth quarter of that game. And I think Mavericks can win game 3 and really put some serious pressure on the Clippers. However, Kawhi Leonard getting his legs back under him after a lengthy absence, not going to really hold yesterday's performance against him. So that one seems likely to go longer, like maybe the distance. That one will be a fun series. So that one's kind of, I'm hoping for more entertainment. We got in game 2, by the way. That was a tough hang, but still it should deliver some drama as we get closer to the end. Timberwolves Suns is interesting too, because Timberwolves played great at home, particularly in the second half of game 2. And they're clearly the better team as far as I can tell you now having watched 2 games. There are structural issues with the Suns, particularly in the absence of Grayson Allen. His injury will matter a lot. And I will say generally, without Grayson Allen, the Suns are drawing dead. With him, they can absolutely at least defend home court and make this a longer series. I know there are some people who were hoping for an opportunity to get involved with the Suns at a bigger price. Really, like, now is that time, right? Like, you need to keep an eye on Grayson Allen report surely before making a bet on the Suns. But let's assume for all intents and purposes, we know he's going in game 3. I think it's fine to kind of take a tickle on the Suns to come back and make this a longer series. Because, you know, they still do have the best offensive player, in my opinion, in Kevin Durant, and a bigger, you know, kind of potential for succeeding in an ISO scenario, which is how things will, evolve as we get later into this series. So haven't closed the door entirely on the Suns right now, but if we do get word that Grayson Allen's going to miss game 3 or 4 or both, then I think you could pretty much put a fork in this one.
Yeah, I'm big on the Suns in game 3. I already locked that in at the opening price, and it moved out from minus 158, minus 160 on the money line to minus 180 range. I do think it's the right side. They look better in game 2, Drew. I mean, that rebound margin, 52 to 28 in game 1, literally doesn't get any worse than that. But they won the rebounding margin in game 2, got more bench scoring, shot the ball a little better, but obviously, they matched the physicality up until that midway through the third quarter. The Timberwolves kind of ran away with it there. But I think back in Phoenix, it'll be a much better series for the Suns. So I'm not writing them off either. I do like the price at plus 300, plus 350 for the Suns to come back and win the series. But okay, I'd rather play them at +2.5 right now, which I actually played today for minus 125 odds. I feel like that was a pretty good price to get the Suns at +2.5. We just need them to win 2 games here in the series. So
that's not crazy. Yeah,
at home for the next 2 games, I think it could be likely here, at least get game 3. But as far as Clippers and Mavericks, I know we were on the other side of the total there. I do think it does go the distance now, as you mentioned. So I'm glad you're coming around to my side. I think we can see
Kawhi's playing. I didn't know if he was going to play.
Yeah, exactly. Say, you never know with that guy. But definitely think that he, you know, 0-for-5 from 3. His legs were not under him, as you said. So expect that to come around. He'll get better as the series goes on. And I played the Thunder to sweep the Pelicans at +225. Just feel like no Zion, no problems for the Thunder. Yeah. I know it was a close game, but they are clearly the better team. So before we move on to the East, West Coast champ, any value on any team outside the Nuggets at +110?
Leaning Thunder, I bet, at 5-1 here. So bear with me. The Thunder are not playing. They're not playing their best basketball yet, but they are shaking off some of the kind of first timers jitters here in round 1.
5 years.
Yes. And I think ultimately the questions I had about the Thunder being a viable matchup in round two against the winner of Mavericks Clippers, well, some of those questions are going away. Now that we know that maybe Mavericks Clippers is going to be a longer series, you could have a team coming in that's fatigued up against the Thunder team that's rested. Both the Clippers and the Mavericks have injury question marks right now. Mavericks, we don't know. Not a huge part of the equation for them. Tim Hardaway Jr., but he's questionable. Kawhi Leonard is always an injury question mark and will be for the rest of this playoffs. And I think, just in general, their round two matchup is starting to look less lopsided less viable that they could get upset. On the flip side, I have a lot of questions about the Thunder. The Nuggets bench, not as good as last year. I have a lot of questions about Aaron Gordon's performance, not as good as last year. And I think ultimately the Timberwolves, if they go through, could give them a scare. Now, if the Suns come through and wildly turn the series around and they're in the next round, then it's probably going to be a walkover for the Nuggets, excuse me. I think there's definitely a chance that the Nuggets could take some damage against the Timberwolves. And at that point, you could have a Thunder team with home court advantage, with more rest, and having gotten some of the first-time jitters out of the way, taking on a Nuggets team that's about equal strength. And if you're holding these two prices up and one of them's -110 to get there, they're about equally likely to get there. One of them's +110, one of them's +500. I think it's pretty obvious that there must be some value in the 5-1. So I haven't gotten to where I have a real solid idea of what my fair price on that series would be, but I know it's not +500 for the Thunder.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point that I was going to make too about the fatigue factor, because I know that game one was the only game under 7 points margin of victory for a team. Pelicans had a chance there to win it late, tie up the game and everything too. But I feel like the Thunder, that was a wake-up call for them, knock off the cobwebs and everything, the rust of not being in the playoffs for so long. And as you watch that Mavericks-Clippers series, Thunder should have confidence saying, hey, we finished these guys off on April 29th. The Clippers and Mavericks might be playing until May 5th. That gives us 6-7 days of extra rest and prep time to get ready for this. So, yeah, I absolutely love that look as well. I think the Thunder are 5-1, definitely holding value right now. I love the Mavericks, but not believing in them as much as I want to, especially with the injuries to Tim Hardaway Jr. And they had another guy go down as well. But before we talk Eastern Conference, Drew, let's make a little pit stop, all right? Yep. IndyCar Barber, my friend. Next up on the IndyCar series is the Barber Motorsports Park in Alabama. The green flag waves at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, only on NBC and Peacock. That is on Sunday. Make sure you check that out. Home of the Indianapolis 500, NBC and Peacock, baby.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Let's talk Knicks-Cavs. As you said, got that Knicks price looking great right now, but they are underdogs. They stole that game two at home against the Sixers. I mean, absolutely phenomenal ending to that game. Sixers are 4.5-point favorites, Drew. Minus 200 on the money line. Love to see that because I played the Sixers in a money line parlay at minus 170 on the money line. I also play the -4 on the spread. Love them here in this game three spot. There's nothing I love more than a good basketball team that's going back home down 0-2 and fully desperate. That team is going to play all out. So I love the Sixers. How about you?
We are not entirely agreeing on this.
that was a long pause.
I just am not seeing it with the Sixers right now.
Okay.
I think everything you were hoping, not a Kyle Lowry fan, everything you were hoping to kind of have a chance to steal one and get your foot in the door through two games happened and you didn't get one. And you could definitely see a scenario here where Sixers come out, they make whatever adjustment, you know, the adjustments Nick Nurse has on in his file folder, dump them all out on the table, you know? This is what we're doing, guys. And those adjustments may work for a half, but the Knicks play so hard, they never quit, and they are just absolute dogs. And the Sixers are not. And there are too many players in the Sixers who just seem to give up too easily. And I feel like if they have a healthy lead at halftime, and then the Knicks can come back and make this one competitive, Sixers capitulate. Maybe. I guess I would, if I was interested in backing Sixers in game three, it would be first half only. If I'm interested in the Knicks, I would wait for halftime and try to get a live price that makes sense. Assuming that you even see anything that you like about them, I guess, because there's a chance that, that the moment, the Knicks just show up and are getting played out of the gym and this is a no contest and they regroup for game four and that's what decides the series. But, I think it could, I definitely see latitude here where the Knicks could scrap their way back in and really spoil the party in Philly.
Yeah, I mean, two possessions is a lot of these playoff basketball games, but especially the home court factor has been so pivotal, though, in these round ones. And I think that these two, Sixers and Knicks, have two of the best home court advantages. So I definitely think Philadelphia is going to be rocking and rolling whenever they host the Knicks. And the series is far from over. Like, even down 0-2 in a series, you win game three, you're more than alive than ever. I mean, game four at home, you win that, and now you're in complete control, it feels like, of the series. All the desperation and fear of going home is on the other team now. So I actually don't mind the situation the Sixers or the Suns are in, to be honest with you. It's much better being down 0-2 and at home than being down 0-2 and going on the road. But situation where it's the same for the Orlando Magic, I don't feel as confident, though. If you're going to say one of these teams are Magic or the Sixers, who has a better chance of coming back? Absolutely taking the Philadelphia 76ers. Do you agree with that? No?
Between those two teams, I agree wholeheartedly. Okay. Thank you. But you're basically like, which of these two terrible choices do you want? Well, I'll take the less terrible of the choices, which is Sixers, I guess.
I'll say the Sixers did look better. Like, Kelly Oubre is guarding Jalen Brunson. Brunson's not having the best series. Tobias Harris, he can hit a corner three, that's for sure.
The problem is, like, the Knicks could play better. And then where are the Sixers, right?
That's true.
That's kind of where my head is at on that series. The Magic, I don't know that the Magic can play better. And the Cavs could. I think that one's going to be over sooner than later.
Yeah. I got the, speaking of that series, I have the Cavaliers in a sweep. Missed the plus 475 price on Tuesday because I was dog sitting, Drew. And I don't know if you've ever dog sit a 3-month-old puppy than a 5-year-old dog that's in heat. But man, I was working overtime the past couple of days. Uh-oh. Yeah. So I didn't get the best price on the Cavs, but I'll take a plus 245 because I already have a few bets on them. Do you agree this is a sweep, or you think Orlando gets a game three or game four win at home and makes this a 5 or 6 game series?
Game three is going to be pretty interesting for the Mavericks because there is one sort of very obvious adjustment that I think Mosley can make to get his offense going, and that's putting Wendell Carter Jr. in the starting lineup for Jonathan Isaac. And I think he will. And that could be enough to just sort of catch the Cavs snoozing. If you made me choose, if you said, hey, I'm from the future, this series ends in four or five games and make you pick one, I'd probably pick four.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think Jonathan Isaac starting was the right move because he's been playing so well down the stretch. He's been knocking down threes, shooting. And when you look at Evan Mobley on the perimeter, Jonathan Isaac and Evan Mobley can match up well, but when you get in the paint, that's when the issue really arises. Maybe you do need a guy like Wendell Carter Jr. in the starting lineup to be able to defend him and Jared Allen, who has been playing outstanding. I am loving the Cleveland Cavaliers. 71% of the money is coming in on their money line, which they are a 1.5-point underdog. Total sitting at 199.5 should be the lowest total on the board and lowest bet game when it comes to that total. But I did do something interesting, Drew, and I'll give you one of my favorite bets because I bet a couple sweeps. I bet a Celtics sweep, bet the Thunder sweep, the Nuggets sweep, and then, as we mentioned, the Cavs sweep. But I parlayed the Nuggets and the Cavaliers at +1038. Do you like those odds on DraftKings? And would you say you have a better chance of making money rolling these over game by game or just taking the best odds you could find at 10-1? Because I have a hard time finding – the Cavs and Nuggets, both at +100 to -110, winning those two and rolling it over and getting 10-1 odds the next game, right?
Yeah, I'm fine with that being the better play, the parlay. Yeah. I think the rollover, if these two series go into game four, here's the mechanics. Well, if set aside what may happen, price alone, right? There's a premium on the homies that are down 0-2 in game three. There always is. And it's not a premium that's not unwarranted. This is a premium that is borne out by the data because this is just the practical matter of it. If you are down 0-2 and you are at home, two things tend to happen. Number one, your coach empties the folder of adjustments, right? He empties he takes the shoebox out and he dumps all the adjustments on the table. He empties the folder and the winning team that comes in 0-2, they're not incentivized to change anything. Hey, this has been working. We'll just keep doing it, right? And so there's a dynamic factor of the teams are playing differently. One team is playing differently with trying to gain an advantage, and the other team is still doing the same old, same old. The other thing is the ancillary players, the guys, four, five, six, seven, eight, they tend to play better at home with the crowd kind of helping elevate them. So, those two factors tend to make a premium on the home team in game three. Now, if those teams lose game three, is there going to be a premium for game four? Uh-uh. That means the adjustments didn't work. That means that the crowd support for the ancillary players didn't matter. Sweep all of a sudden becomes pretty likely. So I don't think you're going to see the same type of prices for game four as you see for game three right now if you're doing the math that way.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted. I mean, I played it, but I was waiting to talk to you about this too because I know you are really the expert when it comes to those pricing and what is the best way to get the value now. And I felt like that was the appropriate way to handle it. So glad that I have been learning something from you over these years. And as always, we got to do our best bets for the show. Me personally, Drew, I love the Sixers and the Suns in game three. As you stated, those teams are going to be desperate. I think at least one of those two teams comes home for me, but I like the chances both of them do. And I have a long shot parlay that I'm going to give you here in a second that probably does not win, but hey, why not? It's Bet the Edge. But what's your favorite best bet for the show?
Give me the JJ McCarthy three. I think that's happening.
Yeah. Sorry, Damon. He's
sorry,
gonna be so disappointed, man.
Sorry, but, Pat fans.
Yeah.
I mean, the state of the Pats roster is it kind of doesn't matter who they draft.
That's true. They're gonna need a lot more than JJ McCarthy. That's for sure.
They're more than a quarterback away.
Yeah. So one thing I'll say before I get out of here, Drew, I always search for promos on sportsbooks because I think, getting value for the bets you're going to be making anyway is getting them at plus wagers, plus money is very important. But one promo I took advantage of and lost on, so I got a free bet back, was the threes day bet. I got to make the first three of the game. I took Devin Booker. He missed the first three. It was Anthony Edwards who made it, of course. But I got $17 back, okay? Big 17 bucks here. That's how many threes are made. I took the Celtics sweep, the Thunder to sweep, the Cavaliers to sweep, the Nuggets to sweep. It's getting dangerous now, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're getting more dangerous. Clippers, Mavs, 7 games. Knicks, Sixers, 7 games. Bucks, Pacers, 7 games. Timberwolves, Suns, 7 games. Obviously being absolutely dumb with it, but that won $54,000, and I also placed it on 11-11-11 on 4-24-24, and I did not mean to do that whatsoever. So, in my mind, this is a lock now.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Of all those,
I wouldn't start spending that money yet, but you never know. Yeah, I mean, it's probably gonna happen. Yeah.
Sorry, newsflash, everyone. I don't have $54,000 right now. But, so I totally get that. But out of all those series, though, which of the series could go 7 games you like the most, and which one you likely to go 4 games?
In order, I think the most likely to go 4 games is Cavs, Nuggets, 2. Celtics is 1. My bad. Celtics is 1. Celtics is 1. Celtics is 1. I'm spacing. Sorry. Celtics is 1. Cavs for me is 2. Thunder is 3. And Nuggets is 4. So in order, those are your likely sweeps. In order, your likely 7-game series for me are Mavs, Clippers, I think is the most likely right now. Second most likely, I'm going to make your Knicks, Sixers. Third most likely is going to be definitely Bucks Pacers, and then the least likely to go 7 is going to be your Timberwolves versus your Suns, and that's just because the Suns, the reason that I put Suns last is just the Grayson Allen. If Grayson Allen isn't going in Game 3, that might be more like a sweep.
That one was definitely the one that scared me the most, because Minnesota just has the size advantage now, and getting one of your primary role players and scorers, guys that can stretch the floor, is definitely not a great sign. But love the breakdowns there. I won't be counting my chicken here, my bankroll later. But I made a joke on the Riddle Basketball Show. I will be called Bankroll Fresh moving on forward if I hit that bet. 4 sweeps.
I love it.
7 Lakers. So sounds good. For Drew, from Vaughn, from Adam and Dan, our producers, we want to appreciate you guys for watching Bet the Edge and checking us out. Happy draft day. Best of luck with your team. Hopefully they go out and get who you want. And best of luck with the NBA as well, because we have been crushing it here. We'll continue to do that for you guys. So we will see you next time. Enjoy your day.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.